Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right. How many of you are looking forward to going to that? If you are a lady, I should say. Yeah. I was going to say I feel like a woman, but today you got to be careful, you know. Come on. Now that was funny. I don't care. Come on now. And there's people all over the region going to be attending this, and it's being pushed heavily through K-Love. So please make sure you get your tickets early so that it's likely to sell out. So just excited about that event coming up. Today I want to talk to you about something that is so deeply in my heart and so important for every one of us to live in what we've been talking about, and I've been calling it the impossibility triangle. How to live where the impossibilities of life begin to, there's a place in God where they no longer dominate your life and they disappear. There's a place in God when with what is impossible becomes practical. We've been talking about different values that God's word teaches, that if they're in the life of a believer, that impossibilities disappear within that realm. And we've talked about what humility is and what faith is and what grace is. God's grace is his divine capacity. We're talking about the capacity of God in you. How to have the capacity of God in your everyday life and for the reason he put you on the earth. And the only way that happens is by humbling yourself to that and exalting what he has placed in you above anything you feel, touch, see, experience, good and bad. And faith is when you believe and you govern your life by those things. I want to talk to you today about the grace of faithfulness. What happens in a person's life when they learn to be faithful to God? And when you hear the word faithfulness, usually it sounds like one of those kind of like, oh, I have a list of things I have to do, and this will be a miserable thing to have to do. I'm not talking to you about being faithful to a job or to an outcome of even to your own benefit. I'm talking about being faithful to the God who so amazingly loved me and amazingly loved you, that he died for you, he died for me. And he died to give you an intimate relationship with him, not just to make you a servant, but a son and a daughter. It's faithful to the goodwill of God for your life. Being faithful to God is like being faithful to a stockbroker who gives you a stock tip that's going to increase your stock by 10 million percent. How many of you think 10 million would be a good percent? How many of you think that's a good stockbroker? You would say, dog, I got to be faithful to him. He'd say, dog, you're an idiot if you don't. You say, no, but you say, well, I wouldn't know that on the front end with a stockbroker. You're right, but you do know that on the front end about God. You know, if we say it over and over again, and I will say it over and over again, because until it becomes a part of the fabric of my life and your life, your relationship with God and these steps, it just goes away. It just becomes this fuzzy religious thing. This church exists so that you can know God, and I mean know him intimately. Not about God, but know God. Primary way you do that here is you come to church on a weekend, you make it a priority in your life, and you have a daily devotional where you put the word of God in your life on a prayer, you pray daily. There's no substitute for it. The second one is that we know God wants us to find freedom. This church exists not only for you to know God, but to find freedom. That means you live past your past, that your yesterdays no longer forecast your tomorrows, that the shadows of yesterday no longer tell you who you are. And the primary way you do that in this environment is through small groups. Because we need one another. We are members one of another. I don't need people. No, no, you actually do. You need people as much as my hand needs my body to live. And you separate my hand from the body and nothing good happens to that hand. Thirdly, we know that we are called of God to discover our purpose. And this church exists to help you do that. And I don't mean your purpose and what you like and what you're just good at and how you can maximize your career path. I'm talking about the purpose that God himself made you. God himself took a portion of the grace that was upon Jesus when you gave your life to Christ and apportioned you divine capacity for a purpose greater than yourself, bigger than yourself, bigger than solving your problems, bigger than your pleasure, bigger than your pain. There is a purpose that you must discover. But then lastly, and what I want to focus on today is the one that it culminates with, is you are called to make an impact with your life. And I don't mean making an impact in solving your issues and for your four and no more. Talking about God using you in ways you can't even imagine, not just as an individual, but as a corporate body of believers. There's a calling on you as an individual, and there is a calling upon this church that you have a calling to fulfill within it. Whether you accept and are, listen now, faithful to that calling is not up to God, it's up to me, it's up to you. And there is a divine grace, a divine capacity that comes upon the heart and the life of a person who becomes faithful to the grace of God in their life. And so I basically want to talk to you this morning very quickly about three realities of faithfully serving God, serving God's purpose, and serving God's people. These are three realities that exist. And let me say this today, I am not talking to you about religious theory. I'm talking to you about something I've lived for 35 years and have experienced God for 35 years. I want to talk to you about what God does in the life of a person who will yield to Him. Imperfect as you are, imperfect as I am, aren't you glad you serve a God who's greater than your weakness and your imperfection? It's so good to know that He loves you. And here's the first thing. God's way of promotion is absolutely contrary to the world's way of promotion. Romans 12 tells us that we should not be conformed to this world. One translation says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. There is a world system set ablaze of hell that can very easily dominate the way you pursue your life and the way I pursue my life. And the way the world seeks promotion is usually at the expense of someone else. It's usually climbing a ladder no matter who you have to climb over. It's learning how to fight the right battles and undermine the right person and make sure that, and you get your name in there when you try, and you're always in this battle. The problem with climbing that ladder is you spend your whole life climbing it, you get to the top and you realize your ladder's against the wrong building. God's way of promotion is not the world's way, but there is a promotion in God. And all of hell can't stop it if a person will walk with God. Not your background, not your family of origin, not your crazy parents or lack of crazy parents. I didn't point to anybody. My mom's probably here this morning. She's not crazy, but my dad sure was. No, I love him. He's in heaven and he was crazy. He was fun crazy, though. How many others fun crazy and then they're crazy crazy? You know, Jesus is our example for how this works. Let me show it to you in the book of Philippians. Remember, Jesus, the Son of the living God, God made flesh. Philippians 2 verse 5 says this, permit this mind or attitude. That means we have to choose to let this happen. Choose. Permit this mind and attitude to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Say it out loud. Jesus is equal with God. He is God in the flesh. That's who He is. Look, verse 7. But He made Himself of no reputation. One translation says it this way. He gave up His divine privileges, taking the form of a servant. And coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of a man. Remember, this is God Himself being fashioned to take the form of His creation. Being formed in the appearance and found the appearance of a man, He humbled Himself. Say, everyone say it out loud. He humbled Himself. So He made Himself of no reputation. He chose to lay down divine privilege and He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death. Remember this about obedience. Obedience is the fruit of humility. It is impossible to say that you have a relationship that's fashioned in humility with God without obedience. Because the scripture said the result of Jesus' humility was obedience. Now here's what I want you to get to the point of death. The obedience of faithfulness we're talking about is not the faithfulness that feels good. Not the career path that you think is going to get you to the next bump in the road or get me this or get me that. There's nothing wrong with being wise and following a good course for your future. That's not how God works. He's going to ask you to serve Him in ways and to give your life in ways that you may or may not understand, you may or may not like. But Jesus said He humbled Himself. This is God in the flesh. Humbled Himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death, the death of a cross. That was for you and for me. And look at the result, verse 9. Therefore, because of this, God has also highly exalted Him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, say it out loud, every knee. Every knee will bow, whether those be things or beings in heaven, things or beings in the earth, or things or beings under the earth. And that every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The first time Jesus came to the earth when he came out of, when he was born of a virgin, he came as a suffering Messiah. He is not returning as a suffering Messiah. He is returning as a reigning king. And every human being upon death will stand before a living God, and they will bow their knee and confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't care what their beliefs are today. I don't care where they live and what they think. When they stand before Almighty God, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. You are the Son of God. And it will either be in one sense to your joy and entering into an eternal life because you let that lordship enter into your life now, or it will be to the opposite. Depart from me, iniquity, I never knew you. So that's unpleasant. It is absolutely unpleasant. That's why he paid such a price, so that none of us have to experience. But I want you to see that the outcome of Jesus' humility was an exaltation to the greatest and highest place in the universe. That at his name, at the mention of his name, every knee will bow. Whether they be things in heaven, things in earth, or even under the earth, referring to the kingdom of darkness. Here's the issue. The test of faithfulness has to be passed. It's a requirement. You don't get to skip this test. None of us do. And if you don't pass it, you just take it over and over and over again. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2. The one thing required, say it loud, required. The one thing required of servants is that they be found faithful. Faithfulness is a requirement, and there's no way to avoid it. You will never live within the full orb of the grace and divine capacity of God ordained for you outside of faithfulness. And I want to define what that looks like. But sometimes we want to get ahead of God. We want things to happen now. We want to be used or do this now or do that now. But what I want you to understand that faithfulness is the season, and we will live in this season the rest of our life at some level. It's when the areas of your life, the things that you see or don't see, are developed in your life by God. Most of the development of our life happens in the dark room, just like film used to be film. Remember when they used to have film? How many of you remember film? And not just click, 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 and post. So much of what gets developed in our life does not happen where it just seems easy and feels easy. Put me in, coach. How many know the song? Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. That's often what we do with faithfulness. Put me in. I'm ready. Just okay, I don't need to do that. I don't need to develop. I'm cool. It's good. Back in 1978, for some of you, that was 600 years ago. But for some of you, like John Spencer, that was just recent memory. And so he said, why do you tease him like that? Because I can. 1978, I graduated from high school, went to Clarion State College, now Clarion University. I guess that made it better. And I was one of the students at Clarion that were probably headed to prison, but that's okay. Jesus redeemed me. And that was another time in my life, and we won't go there. So that's another message for another day. But my roommate, a guy that grew up in Monroeville, we were great friends and still friends through the years, went to Gateway High School in Monroeville. And his really good friend got drafted in the first round in baseball by the Oakland Athletics. And the Oakland A's at that point had won a couple World Series. So this was like a big deal. But the owner of the Oakland A's was a guy named Charlie Finley. Now, if you know anything about baseball history, Charlie Finley was known to be just a little kind of eccentric. That's a nice word. Eccentric is crazy if you have money. That's rich people crazy, okay? He's crazy. And that's when free agency hit baseball, when players began to be able to negotiate where they'd play and began to make these large sums of money. And he was mad. He's like, forget this. I'm not paying people that much money. So he sold everybody on his team off. He just did a fire sale. It was so radical that Major League Baseball came in and had to stop him because he was turning the team into almost like a minor league team. So there was the guy that my roommate knew very well, a guy named Tim Conroy. Tim was the first round draft pick in 1978 for the Oakland A's. And because Finley was saying, forget this, he took Tim out of high school because he an amazing prospect. And he put him right in the major leagues. Now, I really had never met Tim through the years, except about a couple years ago, he came over and he said, and he introduced himself. He was here and still lives in the area. He's just a baseball scout today. And we were talking about our friends and, you know. But it ruined his career. He had a pretty good major league career, but they put him in too soon and it messed his arm up. He was a number one first round draft pick, an amazing prospect, being drafted by one of the best teams in baseball at the time. And because of putting him in too soon, where he did not have the time to develop as he should have, he ended up doing too much, not knowing how to actually use his arm at that level, and it cut his career short. That's what happens to many of us when we walk out of the season of faithfulness, when we don't add the values that God wants us to add. It's why when you say, well, you know, I'm coming to church, you know, it's subjective on the weekend. Be faithful to what God says to do. I don't say, you have my schedule. Do you really want to say your schedule and then God in the same verse? I'm talking about faithful to God. Make him first. For many of you that God's put something in your soul that you haven't been able to define, you don't know whether it's a calling to separate yourself to God, or you know it's just something greater than just kind of, I got it, God. You might have to develop in a greater way. You might have to invest some time. It's kind of like somebody who goes to work at a company and they say, look, if you're going to go up in the company, you need to get a master's degree. And then they go back to school to get a master's to better their life. And that's a good decision. But if you want to really fulfill the will of God for your life and you feel that your calling might actually step you into a realm of where you're going to have to truly separate yourself from some things, then I would suggest you consider going to the Waymaker School of Ministry. Say, I can't do that. I work, man. I can't. But now this fall, we're starting Waymaker School of Ministry in the evening. It's a one-night evening program. Pastor Steve Moore and I will do the teaching. Then there'll be a practicum part to it. Kind of busy for that. Same guy that's too busy to do that was not busy enough to get a master's because he wanted more money. Should you not get the master's? That's a great thing to do. Smart, wise. What makes us think that development of our lives spiritually is any less intentional? Faithfulness is when you realize the way God wants to use you has to operate in me laying down my life and developing in the season of faithfulness. Here's the second part. If we're going to have, in this reality, if we're going to know how to walk in faithfulness and serving God, his purpose, and his people, here's the second reality. We have to learn to live with God's clock. God's clock and my clock are two different things. There is no fast lane and there is no fast pass in the faithfulness lane. You can't speed it up. No matter what I want to do, it won't go faster. And I want to take you just quickly and very, very quickly. I'm going to name about six people in the Bible. And I want to show you how long it was from when God told them something to when it came to pass in their life. And in between from when God put something in their soul, in their heart, to when it came to pass, could only be filled by faithfulness. And when faithfulness does not fill that space, you never get to the outcome. Most people, please hear my heart, most Christians live and they die, never tasting the grace that was apportioned them. Never living within divine capacity, living all their life with just their own abilities and the abilities of other humans. But there's a grace that's available to you in faithfulness. Living in with God's clock. And boy, I'll tell you, it's not easy. Because this should be happening faster. But God's clock and my clock are never the same. Let me just give you a few of them in the Bible. You guys know who David was. Remember the shepherd boy turned king? Yes. Prophet Samuel came when he was a shepherd boy and pronounced he would be the next king of Israel. It was 13 years later when that happened. Everybody say 13 years. That means if it happened today, it would be 2032 before this happened for David. And in between all that time was test after test of faithfulness and obedience. Elisha, who was a farmer, and Elijah, the prophet, sees him farming, and he comes up to him and he throws his mantle on him and said, basically saying, you're going to be the prophet in my stead. And this farmer throws, basically, actually, he burned his equipment and killed and ate his oxen. How many of y'all know you're killing your business when you eat the animals? He said, we had a feast, we're going to eat them, I'm done. Done. And for a period of years, 10 years, he was a personal valet to Elijah. That's it. Didn't do anything spiritual. He took care of the guy like a personal valet for 10 years. But ultimately, he stepped into that ministry. That means if it happened to him today, it would be 2029 before it came to pass. Can you live with God's clock? Can I live with God's clock? Joseph, the dreamer. God gave him a dream as a little boy. And the spirit of the age took over the dream. And he told his brothers and his parents, the dream said, y'all are going to bow down before me. And his parents were like, we're going to bow down before you. And his brothers said, yeah, we'll see. And they were going to kill him. And then one of the boys said, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. Let's be good to the boy. Sold Joseph into slavery. From the day of Joseph's dream to when it came to pass, because he started as this dreamer boy and he ended up going into slavery. He went from a slave to the prime minister of Egypt, the second most powerful position in the known world. But it was 13 years. That means if it happened today, 2032 is when it would come to pass. And in between the dream to the fulfillment was a lot of faithfulness. The Apostle Paul persecuted the church. Here's a persecutor turned apostle. Do you know the Apostle Paul, once he gave his life to Jesus on that road to Damascus experience, it was 17 years before he stepped into his ministry with any kind of force. 17 years. In my mind, I think Paul got saved and he started doing everything. He may have tearing it up in a weekend. 17 years. Think about that. If that was today, it would be 2036. Can you live with God's clock? Moses, a prince who became a shepherd, who became a redeemer. 40 years on the backside of a desert. 40 years. That means, how about this? 2059 before it comes to pass. Before you step into your role. And how about Jesus, God in the flesh? Do you remember what he did when he was 12 years old? Ticked off his family. It's in the Bible. Yeah, it is. Third ticked off, verse 5. I'm telling you, it's in there. They came in to worship in Jerusalem. They all left. Jesus was the oldest. They thought he went with the family and all the caravan of people coming in and out. Couple days later, they said, where's Jesus? How many know it's bad if you lose Jesus? We're trying to find him. They lost him. And I know somehow Joseph got blamed. I'm sure he did. And they all had to go. They didn't go back into Jerusalem, like turn the car around. They had to go back into Jerusalem, turn the whole thing, and they're walking. How many know you have to walk back to Jerusalem? You're getting ticked. Where's that kid? But you're afraid, and then finally they find him in the temple. And Mary's like, why did you do this to us? That's what she said in our vernacular. He said, don't you know I need to be about my father's business? And then you know what the Bible said? From that point forward, he became subject to them. This is God in the flesh submitting to his parents. Is that crazy? This is the Son of God. 18 years later, he steps into his ministry. If that were today, it would be 2037 before it happened. You see, I get to choose my response to God, but God controls the clock. Every last one of us in this room, your primary call on this earth as a Christian is to be a kingdom builder, to live for the one who died for you and to expand his kingdom in the earth, not just to enjoy his blessing, but that his blessing would be the result of you living in the grace to build his kingdom. Every one of us are called to be kingdom builders, but we get to decide our faithfulness to it. I get to decide whether I participate in giving. You see, you and I, do you realize the Bible actually talks about money? Jesus said it this way, if you can't be faithful in giving money, which is the least, He said, God will never trust you with that which is great. And do you know that which is great is people? Do you know that you have to pass the faithfulness test with money? These are all things that are required. It is required of a steward. It is required of a servant that they be found faithful. It's a requirement. But I get to decide. I know in my own life, and I don't have time to give a lot of examples, but I can tell you one, 25 years ago, plus when this church started, Michelle and I knew it in our heart that Victory Family Church would someday be able to, it would be called to touch the Northeast. How's that going to happen? It was she and I and Ryan. And I got up the first Sunday, not the smartest thing to do, and I told everybody, this is what this church will look like. This is what we're going to do. Someday we will shake the Northeast. We are going to drag the Bible Belt north and give the South a wedgie. And everybody in the room except Michelle and, of course, my mother, because, you know, Italian moms think all their sons are Jesus. And then there's baby Jesus, which is really Jesus. And you say, how will I know who baby Jesus is? And he is, you'll see this beautiful woman who's in her 80s, who looks like she's in her 60s, shining a halo of a young man walking around the church. That's baby Jesus. We're in therapy. It's okay, the other four of us. It's like everybody loves Raymond. We're all Robert, and he's Raymond. But that's okay. We're in therapy. We're going to be okay. But for 25 years, I've been proclaiming that. 25 years I've been proclaiming, much of it's come to pass of the things we proclaimed that first day, much of it hasn't. And sometimes I have people in so many ways and words come to me and say, are you aware some of the things that you're saying God's going to do isn't happening? Are you aware of that? Are you bright enough to get that? I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I get it. But here's what I know, God's clock's not my clock. So why would you be faithful to a calling for 25 years, speaking out of your heart by faith from day one for 25 years? God will use this church to shake the Northeast. That's what he said to say. Now, my part of that is to be faithful to a call. The how and the when, that's God. The weekend of Serve Day, which is July 13th and 14th, I'm going to share with you now more details. Things have now happened after we've stepped, just made a few short steps, and I'm going to tell you some of the most remarkable and supernatural things that have occurred, but it's 25 years before it occurred. 25 years. And now it's coming together so fast that you almost can't keep up with it. And it's so, and God, and I'll share with you, there's going to be, if I didn't have it on tape, you almost wouldn't believe it. A prophetic word over what we were called to do from someone who didn't know me from Adam. And I'm going to share it with you. 25 years. That's a long time. God's clock isn't my clock. If we're going to be people who live within the realities of what it means to be faithful to God, faithful to God, faithful to his purpose, and faithful to his people, we're going to have to understand that God doesn't promote the world's way. And God's clock is not my clock. Here's the third one. That faith is when we trust God. Faithfulness is when God can trust us. Faith is when I trust you, Lord. Faithfulness is when God can look at you and say, I trust you. And the only way that happens is over the long haul of humbling yourself to the purpose of God. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 9 as we wind this down in God's presence this morning. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching God, teaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was ashamed for them. His heart broke because they were wearied and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And this is what he's about to say to his disciples. He says to you today, individually, to me individually, and to us as a church. Because of the fact that he died for the world, here's what he said. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Most Christians are praying, Jesus, save people. That's not the prayer to pray. It's not the one he prayed. He said, there's no harvest problem. There's a labor problem. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous. In fact, the harvest is so white to ripe the harvest, it's falling off and rotting. If you don't get harvest when it's time, it dies. It rots. And a rotting harvest in our real world and what Jesus came to do means a human being does not go to heaven, but they go to hell. That is the harvest. Heaven and hell. Eternity. That makes me nervous. It should make me nervous to know that God in the flesh came to pay a debt and then he gave me that commission as a church and as a person. And he said, the fields, they're white under harvest. They're ready to be reaped. He said, but the laborers are way too few. And Jesus prayed a prayer. He said, here's how I want you to pray. When you pray that the Lord of the harvest would raise up laborers that will go into that harvest and reap them for God. The question is this. Can God trust me? Can God trust me to be a kingdom builder? Can God trust me with my talent? Or is it only used for me, my four, no more? Can he trust me with my time? Can he trust me with my money? And by the way, everything I just said is mine, isn't mine anyway. Everything you possess in this life, you are stewarding. Because how many of y'all know, you die and you don't keep anything. Everything I have is a gift from God to be stewarded. It is required in stewards to be found faithful. Even the way you handle your money. I'm tired of people, Christian churches, begging for my money. God didn't need your money. God could finance his kingdom any way he chose. But he wanted to partner with his people. And he said, if you are not Jesus, Son of God said, if you aren't faithful in money, which is little, which is nothing. Look, the actual streets, if you will, in heaven are made of translucent gold. They walk on what people kill for here. It's nothing to God. He said, but if you'll be faithful in that which is little, I'll make you faithful in that which is much. I will make you. There's a way to make yourself, and then there's a way where you live your life where God said, I will make you. Just like he said to Peter, follow me. And he said, I'm just a fisherman. He said, I will make you a fisher of men. I will make you. The grace on your life is where God wants to make you and take you to places in your life that will so transcend anything you ever dreamed possible, what you can do individually and what we can do corporately, that our minds will never wrap around it. That's why Ephesians said it will be exceedingly and abundantly above anything you can ask or even think. But it truly requires to stay put in faithfulness. Let me close by saying this to you. I am not sharing with you theories. I don't have theories for you. I'm talking to you about facts that I've seen in my life and the life of others. What you see happening here in this church is a 35-year process. What you see on this campus, there wasn't some corporation that just came and built. God moved through, and I don't even know how to explain it to you. It's so amazing. I'm a steelworker's son. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. But here's what I want you to understand. People, particularly those in ministry, will pull me aside and say, John, how'd you do this? How do you do that? How do you do this? And what I want to ask them is not what we're doing today. I want to ask them in the season of being faithful. You see, there was a time when I was traveling in ministry, I had nothing. In fact, I was so poor that poor people prayed for me. And I slept in my car for over a year. I didn't even tell my family because I didn't think a thing of it. I didn't have decent food to eat. I'd scrounge whatever I could find. I was on the road speaking in churches. I slept in my car. I'd go to road stop things, on the interstate, take showers with the truckers. I'd get dressed at a rest stop on the way to speak somewhere. I'd iron my clothes in the bathroom at a rest stop. And now I'm a guy, so I'd just be standing there in my underwear. If you ever saw a guy in his underwear in his 20s, you're thinking, I knew that. I walked past that crazy guy. Now, if a woman's doing that in the woman's side, women will go, oh, what's you, sweet, what's the matter? Men are like, oh. Well, I can hold it. Let's go. but I slept in my car. This church isn't where it is today because of what you see today. It's because of a willingness to say yes to a season and a life of faithfulness that it didn't have to feel right. It didn't have to look right. But it's what he said to do. You do what you do unto God, not because it produces or there are results. Listen, when I say I was speaking in churches, you have to understand, you think churches. No, these are like glorified Bible study sized churches. But I was doing everything God led me to do the best I could. I was going to one place and the guy called me the night before. He said, John, no need to come. The church just quit. The leader of the group, because evidently he wasn't, called and said, none of us are coming. It'll just be you tomorrow. So he called me. He said, no use to come. I said, no. I said, I have what's in my heart is as good for you as it is for 1,000 people. We're going to go to that little room you rented and we're going to worship God together and I'm going to pour my heart out to you. He said, really? I said, that's exactly what we're going to do. How about this one? And then I'm going to take you to lunch. So where are you getting that money? You can't imagine. I didn't have money for gas. So why would you do that? Because it had nothing to do with what it looked like. And I can tell you with absolute integrity, I preached to that man the same in that room as I would today when I speak in places where there are thousands of people. Because faithfulness is not about the people in front of you. It's about the God who loves you. And you are called to live this way. And I want to pray for every one of you today as we look at what it means to serve our God and to know what it means that in this place of humility, of faithfulness, humble ourselves, becoming obedient, being faithful to what he's called us to do, not in the leaps, but in the steps. Most people are wanting to do great leaps. God doesn't bless the leaps of men. God blesses the steps of men and women. It's the next step you need to be faithful to, not the leap. God, I'm willing to do anything. Does that include come to church every weekend? Well, not yet. Does that include taking your money and honoring God with it? Well, not yet. But I'll go to Africa, or I'll go to whatever, and I'm willing to. If you've got to be faithful in the next step, not in some grandiose thing. This isn't grandiose. God's grandiose. And what he does is unimaginable. And what he wants to do through you is unimaginable. And what he wants to do through this church is unimaginable to the human mind. Because we're talking about God working in the earth, not a bunch of people figuring something out. This is God moving, and he wants to use you. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And I want to give you an opportunity to take a next step for many of you. All of us have a grace and a calling in our life, if you're a Christian, to do something for God in your life beyond your life. But for some of you, there's a calling in your life, and you may have defined it, you may not have. But for some of you, that calling is so profound, it's you just don't know what to do. It's kind of just dormant now, or you don't know your next step. But you know there's something, and you may be even questioning, am I called to a ministry where I need to even separate my life and develop? And maybe you are, maybe you're not. You don't have to know that today, but you do have to take a next step. For many of you sitting here right now, you know there are things God has put in your heart. And just time's going to keep passing. Faithfulness is a choice. It's a step of obedience. In a moment, I'm going to ask those of you that raise your hand for this call to do something. And I want you to know up front what I'm going to ask. In a moment, I'm going to ask for any of you that are here today that you know, one, I have a calling on my life and I don't know the next step, or I feel like I maybe missed and I want to fulfill that call on my life. I give myself to be faithful to the calling upon my life. Or perhaps you're not quite sure and you go, I know that something greater than what I can see, I don't want to just keep going through the mundanes of life. I want to obey you. Take the steps you've called me to take. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm going to ask you as we stand to worship together to come forward and just fill up the front of this altar area, this space in the front. So why do I need to come up front? You don't need to do anything. I want you to act upon that decision. Well, I don't want to do that. Faithful is not what I want. Faithful is what the next step is. If you can't get out of a seat to walk to the front, do you think you ever take any other steps? I'm telling you, it is progressive. Every step is a step into grace. Every step of into obedience is a step into success. Success is not what happens to you that's good. Success is obedience, which creates grace-filled goodness that depends on God and not just you and me. So if you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor John, I know there's a calling on my life and I want to step into that. For some of you, it might literally be, I think I'm called to some type of ministry, but I want to fulfill that place in my life. It's so easy to get driven back off of that. If that's you, that just right now, you say, Pastor, I'm taking that step today. It's required. I will be faithful to my call. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just raise your hand real high, right where you're seated. Lift it high. Stop living this way. Don't wait another day. It's so critical. You can put your hands back down. And this includes those of you online. You can't come forward, but you can be in church next weekend unless you're out of town. So we do it at home, online. Come here where the whole body is. It's okay online if you have to. But there's no substitute for being together. None. If you raised your hand, let's stand together. Worship team's going to lead us in just a chorus of a song where you just pour out your heart of commitment to God, whether you're that person that raised your hand or not. Let's all stand together. Just if you did raise your hand, would you just simply, as we sing and worship, you come down right now. Let's just fill the front here. Let's worship God for a moment. Let's see what God wants to do in this place. We are one body. That's His presence right now. That's the presence of God. So what is that? What is that? You don't even have to be a Christian. What is that? That is the manifest presence of God now. That's what happens when you obey. You step into that. Father, we stand in your holy presence to honor and obey you because you are God and we are not. We humble ourselves in your mighty presence. Thank you for supernatural grace that we step into. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. As we were worshiping, these words came up in my heart. And the Bible would call these just the simple gift of prophecy, inspired utterance, one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. For some of you, you're stepping into things that will become and are a seed today. Some of you are going to grow the plant that's already out of the ground. For some of you, there's just a bit of fruit on the tree, but it's meant to not just have a little piece here and a little piece there, but to have a full yield. For some of you that are in the seed phase, you don't even know what it looks like. You don't even quite understand it until it breaks through the ground. Faithfulness is what you do when the seed is below the soil. When the tender root of a plant comes out and there's nothing on it. Faithfulness is what you do when the fruit doesn't match what you think it should. You stay put. Because it is required of a steward to be found faithful. And I become obedient unto the death of my will and my ways. Wherefore God, now listen, the same as He said over Jesus will be true of your life and what He wants to do through a church that will submit to Him as a body. And I will exalt you and I will lift you up. God's saying, I will exalt you. I will lift you up. I will, not you. Please hear these words. No matter what opposed you, no matter what opposes you, whether that line is 10,000 miles deep in a single file, it is nothing to your God. There is nothing that can stand in the presence of your God. There is nothing that can stand successfully. It can come, but it can't stand successfully in the presence of divine grace. And every step you take in faith and trusting God is where you step into faithfulness. Faithfulness is where God can trust you. So Heavenly Father, I pray that over every person here, whether they're watching online, whether they're standing in their seats, or whether they're around the front of this church, only heaven knows what these seeds will produce. Only heaven knows what this obedience will produce. this is a group of world changers because we serve a God who made the world. It's nothing to change it in Him. Father, I speak that over every one of their lives as we worship You, as we just wait in His presence for just a moment. It's so important that you take your next steps as a Christian. For some of you, you need to take a next step and go to Waymaker Evening School. It may not be for every one of you, but I'm telling you, if you have it in your heart at all, go do it. I'm not going to be spending every Tuesday night for a year, and Steve Moore and I doing that because we just are bored. We are going to impart things to you that will cause you to be able to fulfill the grace in your life. And you can go online and check it out, or go out to the table out there and talk to somebody. But take a next step. Take a next step. Every one of us in this room, remember, your takeaways today are very simple. Faithfulness is never wasted time. Every one of us leave this place today knowing that we are going to live with God's clock. And every one of us today know that, Father, faith is when I trust You, but I'm going to be a faithful believer, and You can trust me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, that is, if today you drew your final breath and were to slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? Jesus truly died so that men and women could have eternal life. Oh, what an act of mercy and grace and love beyond description. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, or you're watching online, or you're not certain, say, Pastor, please include me in a prayer to invite Christ in my heart. I will pray for you right where you're standing. In fact, the whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you stand. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Christ today. And I don't know that I've done that, or I'm certain I haven't, but I want to give my life to Jesus. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'll pray for you right where you're standing. Just lift your hand real high right where you're standing, and I'll pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you, thank you, God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your life. He'll make you brand new, your sin debt gone. It's in some religious thing talking about the Son of God making you brand new. Oh, what an amazing decision you're making right now. Pray it out loud where you hear it, and we're going to pray it with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite You in. I receive You now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank You for coming. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you. Praise God. You guys can go ahead and find your seats.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.